as if aiming a gun at someone in the water trying to swim away. BBC News.
Now on Radio 4, books on the BBC, the concluding episode of our classic serial.
Throughout my wanderings, I asked myself again and again the same question, the question I am still asking.
Let me guess, was Gormenghast a real place?
Or was it only some sickly phantasm conceived in insanity? If I had no past, how could I make sense of the present, let alone have some concept of a future?
And yet, this is the future, present here and now.
The threads are being gathered together, the paths converging.
Or, as I might put it, being an artist, the rough sketch is now almost a finished picture. And this is a new portrait, very modern in style. A girl, exquisite body, indescribably quizzical face.
An unexpected character in an inexplicable chapter of my history.
The History of Titus Groan by Mervyn Peake and Maeve Gilmore, dramatised by Brian Sibley, with Luke Treadaway as Titus and David Warner as the artist. Titus Alive.
To me, it seemed, still seems, a new kind of beauty.
Eyes large and stormy grey, cheekbones taut, beautifully carved. Nose straight, chin rounded and in profile. Deliciously small and vulnerable.
That is her face. Just as I saw it first in my delirium.
The car's lit afloat. Steer pike, swimming underwater. A dagger between his teeth. And I killed him. I killed him dead.
You killed him?
Sank. Down the dark waters.
Though unaware of detail, I'm in a bed in a room.
High, green, dusky, silent. Beyond the windows, a great park with a lake stabbing the eye with a wild dazzle of water. Beyond the lake, a great factory taking the sky in its stride, its outline cruising across 100 degrees, a masterpiece of design.
Its rise, bobbing on the water. Faces known, unknown.
My face?
Beautiful. Who are you? Can you hear me?
Is that my son?
Mother? Is that you? Mother, where are you?
Where I always am.
Where you always are? At your high window.
Where else?
What window?
High up. Walls of Gormenghast. Window filled with ivy and birds.
Your mother misses you, Titus. We all miss you, my boy. Oh, very much so. Yes, yes, indeed.
Is that you? Dr. Prune Squall. Oh, my dear Dr. Prune. Does Mother really miss me?
My dear boy, she waits and watches with her birds and her cats.
Mother's cats. A tide of white fur.
Cats are loyal in a traitor's world.
Who is the traitor, Mother? Steerpike?
Some traitors are dead. Others are alive.
Yes, yes, I am a traitor.
By all that abdicates, you take the cake. But where are you, boy?
Where am I? I wish I knew. Can no one tell me?
Not easily.
First, Sepulchrave, your father. Then your sister, Fuchsia. Now you.
Father, eaten by owls. Fuchsia, my dear. Lonely, sad sister, drowned.
Why did you do it, boy?
Why did you run away?
Why did I run away?
Why did you?
Why?
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 Why? Conchita, where are you?
Conchita, what are you doing in there?
I'm busy.
Hurry up.
We're going riding.
Then go.
What was that?
Nothing.
Someone called.
Ahoy there, urchin. Titus the Flyblown.
Is that Muzzlehatch?
Hell, how you've wandered.
Who is Muzzlehatch?
Saved my life. Lost his animals.
Fish, flesh, and fowl.
Animals?
All dead.
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 Killed by the machine. The terrible ray. plumes, horns and beaks, wings, fur and claws all gone.
They were only caged up creatures after all.
I know you.
Look at the lion. That's all it is. Four legs, two ears, one nose, one belly.
Acreblade, king of the police.
Are you wanted by the police?
He wants me. He wants me, him and his silent seekers. Hate him. Hate them faces made of tin tacks. Arms fixed on with nails.
I love you, child.
But Juno is with me.
My golden boy. Where are you? What are you doing?
Cheetah, are you coming?
Then shoot the brute!
Leave her, we'll go alone.
Who is that? Why don't you open your door?
You are dreaming.
Let them in. We can all dance together, hand in hand. You and me, Muzzlehatch and Juno, dance on the battlements, step out into space. The owls are coming.
The owls?
They're on their way from Gormenghast. The owls. The ravenous owls. Where am I?
It doesn't matter.
Who are you?
That doesn't matter either. As long as I know who you are.
Who am I then?
Lord Titus Groan of Gormenghast, 77th Earl.
Oh, thank God.
For what?
For knowing. I've grown to doubt the bloody place. Hell, my body's on fire.
The worst is over.
Who did you say you were?
I didn't, but they call me Cheetah.
I can't eat anymore.
Nonsense, you must. You've been very ill, you've got to build up your strength.
Cheetah, I don't remember how I got here, to your house.
A servant found you in one of the outhouses on his midnight round. We have a lot of security because of the nature of Father's work. Your clothing was wet through and you're shivering, babbling with fever.
What is your father's work?
He is a scientist.
I hate all men of science.
Why? Without science, there would be no progress.
It was the progress of the scientists who built the machines that followed and spied on me. It was the scientists who created the terrible death ray that killed all the animals in Muzzlehatch's zoo.
So what did people study in Gormenghast?
Ritual.
But not science?
Only ritual.
All science begins with rituals. Anyway, when you meet Father, you must promise to be nice to him and not say rude things about science and scientists.
Why?
Because if you do, I shan't love you anymore.
Another drawing. A man, barbaric to the eye, his silhouette more like something made of ropes and bones, but nevertheless instantly recognizable.
Muzzlehatch,
maddened beyond recognition, sitting on a hillside at sunset, spellbound by a circus of animals formed from the clouds and thronging the vast arena above his head.
By God, there they all are, in the clouds. The creatures that gave joy to my world. I see them. Beasts of the earth, sea, and air. Great and small. Changing shape. Melting from species to species. Whales, lions, fawns, tigers. The brindled heron. The lemur. The little civet I loved so much, who moved like a wave of the sea. The beautiful beasts, destroyed by the remorseless progress of science. God damn it. They are killed once more. Run through and torn to shreds by those hellish machines. So much lost. Young Titus, lost. My beloved zoo, lost. Time to find Gormenghast and guide young Titus to his home, if only to prove the boy was not a madman. Time to find the place where those infernal men work like drones in the hive to the glory of science and in praise of death.
How to depict the scientist? The merest wisp of a man. Nondescript to the point of embarrassment. His presence is a kind of subtraction.
Lachita tells me you have a title. That you are, in fact, a Lord Titus of...
Gormenghast.
And you are, or were, until you left, the Earl of that place.
The 77th Earl.
Then I assume it has been in existence for several thousand years.
I was born in its ancient stronghold and lived there for 20 years.
Quite so. Well, Titus, if I may be so familiar with one of rank and nobility, whilst your Gormenghast appears to be a somewhat enigmatic place not found, as far as I've been able to discover, on any atlas, you clearly amuse and please my daughter, who is... I can say with authority, notoriously difficult to please.
Good morning, Father.
Good morning, dear. I was just hearing about Titus's ancestral home.
Well, it's time for his lordship's morning constitutional. Come on.
You will excuse me, sir.
Yes, sir?
Get me police headquarters.
Yes, sir.
I want to speak directly to Mr. Acreblade.
What made you love me, Cheetah?
To begin with, your face. Young, boyish even. Yet it is as if that youthfulness had been ripped away to show something rougher. Something nearer the bone. I think your face is your life.
Do you?
Possibly.
That sounds less certain.
That is why you fascinate me, Titus. You are a riddle, a puzzle, an enigma, something to be solved, unraveled. Decoded.
That sounds more like an experiment.
In a way, that's what you are. I am intrigued by you in the same way as something my father might put under a microscope. A rare specimen. A different form of life.
And you can call that love?
I love you all I dare.
All you dare. That is very good.
It is indeed very good when you think of the fools I've sent packing. All they wanted was to own my beauty, possess my body. You are different.
What makes you think your beauty and body are safe with me?
You can behave yourself.
Can I? Tell me about your lips.
What about them?
They curl like a small creature asleep. A chameleon.
What?
Ready to change colour. Yesterday they were pink. Today they're the colour of lilac blossom.
That's just lipstick.
And shall I describe your cheekbones that have the beauty of an exquisite carving? Or...
Or what?
Or shall I abandon courteous talk and ask that you let me suck your breasts like little apples and play upon your nipples with my tongue?
That is certainly not behaving yourself. I think, as you are obviously so much better, that tomorrow we ought to harness some of your returning energy... And
what?
And go riding. I know you can ride because I know you rode away from Gormenghast.
On the subject of love, or lust, shall I show you a painting of your former lover? Juno.
Faster, faster!
Juno in an aeroplane. A yellow insect in the void, roaring away from yesterday towards the day after tomorrow.
So you want to go faster? How about this?
At the controls, a man with the look of a brigand, a shock of red-black hair, eyes as grey as pools and possessed of all the sang-froid in the world. A man named Anchor.
So... Are you sorry to have left your home?
No. The past is over. My home is a memory. I will never see it again. You saved me from being a sentimental old bore. But for you, I might still have been back there with my tear-stained face pressed against the windowpane, weeping for the days long gone. That's why I named you Anchor. You give me so deep a sense of safety.
Oh, I'm flattered, I think.
I feel young today, in spite of my mistakes, in spite of my age. What shall we do?
There's nothing we can do except live.
True. The future is everything.
Then let us catch it by the tail and fly.
Keep up!
The dawn sky like an expanse of crumpled linen. On the horizon, slender, tapering chimneys from which rise, like incense, columns of green smoke. The great factory with a high fence patrolled by guards.
So, your father built that edifice, yes?
So they say. But then they say anything, don't they?
Who?
Ask me another, darling.
Listen, do you hear it?
What?
That sound. Kind of murmur. Like a distant rumor.
No.
If it were a smell, it would be the odor of death.
What are you talking about?
Look, Cheetah. Look.
What am I supposed to be looking at?
The windows.
What about them?
Don't you see them? Faces. In every single window. Thousands of them.
So?
They are staring at us, Cheetah. Staring at us, staring at them, and... Oh, my God.
Titus?
They are all identical. Don't you see? Every single face is the same as every other. Gone. They are gone. I can't bear it.
Titus! Titus Groan, you are mad! Utterly mad!
She is always there. I can never be alone.
A wooded copse. Only the trees, the birds. Small animals pausing momentarily in their tracks overhear your thoughts.
Where is the road home? Where can I find me? These people... Happenings. I don't belong. I want the nettles, the owls calling through the rain, the ringing of red rust bells. Give me back the kingdom in my head.
Titus.
Oh, Cheetah. Oh, hell, you surprised me.
Evidently.
I'm just rather tired of opening my eyes to find old women peering at me from a great height.
Did you say women?
I did. There was Juno.
I'm not interested in Juno. Heard all about her.
You have?
I have. Too often.
Great God, Cheetah, you must have plundered my subconscious when I was sick. Entrails and all. What'll you do with such foul cargo? Your face is quite wonderful, but...
But?
It spells disaster.
And I thought you desired me.
God knows I do. But to have you would be like holding a time bomb.
Charming.
Not that you mean to be dangerous. You can't help it. You are beautiful, rich, and utterly spoiled. No one ever says no to Cheetah.
What is it, Titus? When you're not trying to make love to me, you're being facetious and doing all you can to belittle our friendship. Why?
The truth is, I think I hate you, though I don't quite know why.
Nor do I.
Maybe it's because I hate your father's stinking factory.
That again.
Yes. Why is it surrounded by guards? Who were those faces we saw? Thousands of them, all the same, staring like waxworks. What's in that factory, Cheetah? What is it he's doing in there?
I never asked. Why should I?
You expect me to believe that? What is it all about, Cheetah? Tell me.
Let go of me! I don't like it! To be touched makes me sick! Do you understand?
No, I bloody well don't. You tease like a seductress, but are as cold as meat.
So that's it, is it? It's only my body that attracts you. There's no other reason why you should want to be near me.
Cheetah.
Strange that I should love you. You, who harbour nothing but lust for me. Can't you understand? You are my mystery. What matters is your mind, your stories, the way you're different from any other man I've ever known. Sex would spoil it. There's nothing mysterious about sex.
The grand experiment in unravelling the inscrutability that is Titus Groan.
God, you're cruel.
Then the sooner I'm gone, the better.
Titus!
This is the end, Cheetah. I'm finally finished with your marvellous face and your warped brain.
You're cheap. You're shoddy and you're weak. And you're probably mad. You and your Gormenghast, you make me sick.
I make myself sick.
I'm glad. Long may you remain so. What do I care whether or not he's Lord of Gormenghast? Whether he's sane or deranged? But I will have my revenge.
What's wrong?
A dream.
Oh, it's all right. Oh. Tell me.
Titus. Uh-huh. I saw him in the dream. Oh. Staggering with a castle on his back. Surrounded by eyes. Nothing but eyes. He stumbled and cried out, "Forgive me, for pity's sake, forgive me." Titus is in danger. Anchor, I know it.
He's been in danger most of his life. I don't think he'd know what to do with himself if he wasn't.
Do you believe in him? I've never asked you before.
I believe in his existence.
And the rest?
He's not mad. Whatever else he is, he's not mad. I mean, inventive, perhaps. Clothed in the wild webs of imagination, but mad, no.
Then you don't believe him. You think he's a liar? Oh, my dear Anchor, I have such a pain in my heart. I'm so frightened. What shall we do?
We will away and find him.
Put me through to my father.
Yes, Miss Cheetah.
The factory. A white room. The ceiling matted with crimson wires. The furnishings. A chair and a black glass table of unnatural length. The wall at the far end of the room is an opaque screen like a cod's eye.
Miss Cheetah.
Make your image smaller. You're filling the entire wall.
I forgot. Is that better?
More or less. I must see Father.
He's in a conference, Miss Cheetah.
Then fetch him. This is important.
Yes, Miss.
Ah, Cheetah, I've asked you before not to disturb me at work. What is it?
Titus.
What about him?
He's planning to leave.
I'm not surprised.
Yes. It seems he can do without me. Anyway, I want to give him a farewell party.
Well, you don't need my permission for that, Cheetah.
I need some of your workers to help me prepare. And I want to hold it somewhere special.
Oh?
Yes. The old black house in the woods.
What? That old ruin? Oh, very well. But why on earth do you want to hold your party there?
I thought it might remind him of home.
A tree-walled avenue, flecked with gold and green, as our two figures approaching one another. Almost, it seems, floating on the slanting rays of the sun.
Thank you for stopping.
What could I do? After all, we know each other.
Do you think so? Perhaps that would be a good reason to avoid one another.
Perhaps. Anyone looking at us might think that you were far too luscious for me. Whereas I know your sex is bolted from the inside, you are as prim as a mantis that gobbles up the heads of her admirers.
That is disgusting.
Love is disgusting.
Our star has been unlucky. We were doomed from the beginning. We were born in different worlds. You with your dreams.
My dreams. I have no dreams. It is you who are unreal. You and your peculiar wealth and beauty have kept me like a dancing bear on the end of a rope. I cannot, I must not take any of this seriously. You or your father or this land of factories.
But Titus!
Shh! Quick, off the road. Behind the trees.
Why? What?
going to tell me who they were? Those men. Their uniforms and helmets, those blades they carry. The way they walked, not looking to left or right. What do they want?
Me. They have tracked me down. I must go.
No! No, not yet.
Yes, at once.
But you can't. It's impossible.
Cheetah, I'm away. Away for good.
But you cannot go yet. Everything is ready. That's what I came to tell you.
Everything's ready for what?
Well, they will all be there.
Who, in God's name?
That would be telling, wouldn't it? It's all for you.
What is?
All right, I'll tell you. And then you'll have no option. It's only for one night. A night in your honor.
Cheetah, explain.
A farewell party. Something for you to remember as long as you live.
I don't want a party. I want to...
I know. You want to forget me. Forget that I found you destitute and nursed you back to health. Now that you're strong again, you think you'll go. But you cannot desert me. Not now. Not when all is prepared for you. We will laugh and sing and drink and dance and go mad with all that one night can give us.
Why?
Because a chapter will be over. Titus, let us end it with a flourish. Titus, please... Tell me that you will be there, please.
Very well, then. It's the truth. No one can ever say no to you.
Darling? Darling, where are you?
Right beside you.
This place. One can hardly see a thing.
A picture. An etching. Of classic Gothic romanticism. Night in the ruin that is the old Black House.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Primal. Positively primal.
The floor is soft with moss, the lichen-covered walls lost in fern and foliage. Despite myriad candles, the place wears a deadly darkness that owes nothing to the night and everything to the fancy of a fevered imagination.
Wherever did Cheetah find all these ghastly things? The ridiculous suits of armour, the hideous tapestries, that ludicrous throne of hair. Yeah.
But how ahead this puts us.
Ahead of what?
The avant-garde.
Mm. I mean, stuffed owls everywhere.
This place is double pneumonia.
Don't be such a grouch. Oh, these costumes are so gloriously outrageous.
That giant puppet or automata, whatever it is. It's fantastic. Yes.
It's so wonderfully preposterous.
To think it's all for that boy.
The blindfold's not too tight, is it?
Why is this necessary? And why are my hands tied?
So as you don't spoil your surprise. Just like when you were blindfolded on your 10th birthday.
How do you know about that?
Well, you told me, of course.
What's that?
We're flying.
This isn't a plane.
No, my darling. We're in a balloon. Sailing through the sky on our way to your surprise.
And where is that?
Somewhere very special. To meet some very special people. You'll see when the blindfold comes off.
I'm one of the mad twins. Who are you supposed to be?
I can't remember, but actually I think they're probably all mad.
I've forgotten my lines already.
How much longer?
Just a few more paces, Titus, my darling, and all will be revealed.
Will someone just undo my bloody eyes?
Father, come on.
You must be patient, my lord.
Did you just say my lord?
Naturally, your lordship.
Well, what are you waiting for? Set me free.
First, allow me to lead you to your throne.
This is the moment of your surprise. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your guest of honour.
What's all the shouting for?
Now, undo the blindfold. Please welcome Lord Titus Frone, the 77th Earl of Gormenghast.
Lord Titus Frone, the 77th Earl of Gormenghast.
Who are these people?
Oh, he
is bewildered.
He needs his mother.
Of course he does, poor boy.
Lucky she's on her way.
Pray silence for her grace, Countess Gertrude of Gormenghast.
A mockery of a memory creaks into view. A gargantuan form dressed in black. With hair of an unnatural red. Perched upon by a flock of long-dead birds.
Where is he? Where is my son? Where is my only son?
What is this monstrous charade?
Come here, my love, and be punished. It is I, your mother, Gertrude of Gormenghast.
You are not my mother.
That is my boy. That was the very accent of the groans. How grievous that he should have died. What is it like to be dead, my wandering child?
Dead? Dead? No. No!
Lady Fuchsia Grove!
Dear brother, you can trust me, surely. You're Fuchsia. I drowned myself, you know. We have death in common. Have you forgotten how I sank beneath the waters of the moat? Is it not glorious to be dead together?
I am not dead!
Untie his lordship.
We are bringing your family together. They need you. For did you not desert them? Did you not abdicate? That is why they're here. For one reason only. To forgive your treachery. See how their eyes shine with love.
Greet your family, your lordship.
Greet your family, Lord Titus.
Yes! Greet your family, Lord Titus.
Oh, it is your father. Sepulchre the 76th, my body consumed by owls in the Tower of Flints. My books burned to ashes.
Burned by us!
Lady Clarice and Lady Cora.
Cora and Clarice starved to death by Steerpike.
Flay, stabbed to death by that kitchen boy, Steerpike.
Nanny Slag, oh, my poor weak heart, poisoned by Steerpike.
Steerpike, stabbed to death by you, Titus.
Come to your mother, Titus.
Looks like we found him, Juno.
Oh, Anchor. The poor boy, what have they been doing to him?
Leave me alone. I'm going mad, mad!
You are already mad, my darling Titus. And now your bewildered brain will once and for all be utterly and permanently deranged.
We must help him.
We must pick our moment.
I can't stand this any longer!
Stop this, do you hear me? Stop this right now!
Reinforcements.
Muzzlehatch!
Didn't you hear me? What is going on here? What is all this?
Muzzlehatch!
Titus!
Oh, Muzzlehatch, help me, my old friend, for pity's sake!
All right, my disobedient little children! The party's over! Go home! Go away!
Tita, who is this creature?
I don't know, Father.
He's not part of the charade?
Me? The only charade I care about is your loathsome philosophy, scientist. Well, it won't be long now. Boom!
What are you talking about, Muzzlehatch?
I have been to the Hive.
The Hive?
The Hive of Horror. I took a stroll, and what a stroll it was. It took me at last to a factory, to the place where all the terrors are born, like liquidating my beloved animals.
He sounds half crazed.
This is not the old Muzzlehatch.
I found it. The door to hell. I enter that monstrous place of yours with its army of workers, thousands strong, all obscenely identical, and the men in white coats and rubber gloves, and the stench of death. I penetrated the white-walled corridors to the very heart, the center of it all, and there I fixed it.
Fixed what?
What have you done?
You see? Boom! And now I have come for him.
Me?
Yes, you bladderhead.
Keep away from my father!
Let me go! No. Your machines stopped the roaring of my great beasts. My lions, bears, wolves, and camels, the monkeys and the eagles stopped their wild hearts. And now it's time for me to stop yours.
What do you want? Name it. I'll give it to you.
What do I want? I want to kill you. But I've done something better. I have put an end to it all.
Help me, someone.
Sir,
Let me relieve you of the scientist. Even an arm as strong as yours must tire at times.
Who are you?
Anchor. We have a lady in common.
Who would that be? Queen of the Mermaids?
Do I look it?
My old lovebird, you know.
Oh, Titus, my most dear. Let me have my father.
Let her have him, Muzzlehack.
Yes, yes. She can have him. Where the hell is Acreblade? Him? It's too late for that policeman and his stalkers, because rather than deal a death blow to you, my little cockroach, I've dealt a death blow to your damnable machine.
What have you done?
It can't be long. Boom!
I must get there. My experiment...
There! Boom! Too late.
What was that?
That, Mr. Anchor, would be the death of many men. And that glow in the sky is the red of the world's blood.
My factory.
Gone. Finished. Done with.
Do you know what you've unleashed?
Father! I hate you, Titus! I hate you!
Put those claws away, Miss Cheetah!
I hate you and your friends. I hate all that you think you are. I hate your Gormenghast. I will always hate it. If it were true, I'd hate it even more. Father, wait for me!
Titus Groan!
So, Policeman Acreblade has finally arrived.
Stand clear. Give me the boy.
You'll have to take me first.
Muzzlehack! Acreblade's got a knife!
A glint of steel in the black night. The blade stabs and the maddened keeper of animals is felled like one of his great beasts.
Muzzle!
No! Acreblade!
I have him, Titus! He's going to pay dearly for it!
Seizing the murdering Acreblade by the neck, Anchor swiftly executes the law of retribution.
That's finished him.
Oh.
Where's Titus? Bring the young ruffian here.
Oh, my dear Muzzle. My dear friend.
Hey, don't squeeze out what's left of me, my dear. Something of a holocaust, isn't it?
Let me see you. Let me kneel beside you.
Mustn't get morbid, lovebird, eh?
Oh, my Muzzle dove.
Titus? Where's your hand, boy?
Here.
God bless you. And your Gormenghast, my boy.
Quick, let's get to the plane. We must get away.
Muzzlehack.
We cannot take him.
I will not leave him. He loved me. I loved him. He saved me, and even when I doubted my own sanity, he believed in me. They killed his beasts, but their roar lived on in him and will live on in my blood as long as I live.
We must leave him where he lies.
Anchor!
The stalkers! Juno, we have no choice. Titus, come on! So, where am I supposed to be flying this plane to? Where are we going?
The yellow insect plane, lethal in its line, multitudinous in its secrets, an equation of metal. And inside, within its entrails...
Did someone ask where we were going? Or am I dreaming?
Titus, dear.
You don't know either, do you? Neither of you know. That's it, isn't it? We've no destination. We are moving, that's all, from one sky to the next. Oh, Gormenghast, how can I prove you? Or am I mad?
You are no more mad than I, or any other creature that is lost.
We will search until we find your heart's home, Titus. Have I ever doubted you?
You pity me. You do not believe. You are gentle, but you do not believe. Perhaps it is all a figment of my brain. Well... I will find out. Goodbye, Juno.
Titus?
Goodbye, Mr. Anchor.
Wait!
Look after her. She is all heart.
Titus, no!
Get away from the door!
Goodbye.
No!
Close the door, Juno!
Anchor!
Close it! Oh. His parachute is opened. There's nothing more we can do.
Oh, Anchor! What in the world is to become of him?
The dark silk tent is filled with air, and far, far below is a vast charcoal drawing of mountains and forests. The last of my pictures.
The moment of falling is another escape. Horrors and terrors, lusts and loves all left behind. Swaying and drifting downwards, I experience a new, unexpected calmness.
Now I am really alone.
We have reached a point, Titus, where we are both alone. I can no longer clearly see the people or places on your journey. I have nothing more to go on than unformed thoughts and unconnected words. You will have to take up the story without me.
What shall I tell you? Days, months, years pass. I gather experiences as a child might pick daisies, and at appropriate moments I use them to garland my chance encounters. Until the day when I come to a formidable and strangely familiar-looking stronghold.
But not Gormenghast.
No. A place with rituals, that is true, but not those to which I was born an heir. Amongst all your drawings and paintings, I have not seen one that evokes that place.
If you will describe it, I will try to draw it.
Outside, gaunt, forbidding towers, heavy iron gates, a long gravel drive, a box hedge, and the building...
Massive, aloof, its roof rich in turrets.
Yes, that is how I see it. I allow myself to be led into this world with my eyes open. Inside...
I'm Peregrine Smith. I'll show you around.
Long staircases of cold stone. Networks of corridors stretching endlessly towards some distant horizon.
I'd like to know what work I'm to do here.
Oh, don't worry, Titus. I'll initiate you. Mind you, I can't say you won't be a bit upset by it all. But I've got quite fond of some of them. Though there are others. Oh, Lord, yes. It can be difficult. And they can be.
Everywhere, desultory, disconsolate figures, stranded in time, wandering to and fro, their gaze turned inward, doomed to going nowhere.
You'll need your patience, and your humour, and your compassion, and your strength. And above all, leave your mind alone, or you might find yourself an inmate too.
This place... What is it? An asylum?
They call it a hospital.
Here's where you'll be working. Ward 12.
God, the smell.
Yes. I didn't think I'd ever get used to such a sickly stench, but you do.
They look as though they don't know where they are, or who else is here.
Think of them as islands, Titus. Each too remote to link with any other. Separated. Island from island. By mist. Fog. Moonless night. Hey, let's get started.
What's first?
Washing, then feeding. A never-ending cycle.
When I'm inside, there seems to be no world outside, either for myself or for those I care for. Occasionally, familiar faces are gone, always to be replaced. Then he arrives.
Who?
The man in bed 10.
It's all right, darling. You're quite safe here.
Can I help?
Oh, thank you. My husband's things. Can I put them in this locker?
Of course. Let me... Books. Does he read?
He wrote them.
Lots of pencils, too.
He is an artist. And sometimes he's still... Well, now and again. Anyway, I like him to have them near him. I must go now. My darling. My funny gentleman. I will see you soon. Look after him, please.
I will.
Thank you. Bye, darling. I say goodbye, but the truth is goodbye was said many years ago, before we knew we were saying it. I will be down in 2 days' time.
This man, this artist, tell me more about him.
There is something about him that draws me to him.
And his face?
Seared into my memory. If I were to describe him...
No. No, there is no need. Tell me about his wife.
Wounded by years of suffering, but beneath those scars, a rare beauty with...
Dark eyes and golden hair.
Yes. I feel the same closeness to her as I feel towards her husband. Perhaps because she also sees this indefinable link between my life and his.
Oh, the most...
Shall we walk just a little further? As far as that seat, yes? And we can sit in the sun for a while. It's all right. I have hold of your arm. You're not going to fall. I won't let you. There. Now we can sit and watch the world go by. Even though the words won't come anymore, you still see everything, don't you, my friend? Yes. I know you do. I've seen you looking at everything around until you can look no more. I can feel your eyes now, searching me. Your eyes are more alive than any I've ever seen, in and out of every world through which I've passed. When I'm talking with you, I feel... understood?
Yes.
So now, what shall we talk about, my all-seeing friend? Shall we debate what is sanity? What is normal?
The days wear on. The nights wear out, the lives wear down. But because of this man, I feel that I'm undergoing a change.
What way?
I begin to know feelings that I thought had died within me many years ago. Compassion and protectiveness.
I brought you a drink.
Yes.
I cannot describe that cry, other than it has in it all the pain that man has suffered since time began.
How is he?
He is sleeping.
I will sit with him a while. I'm not sure if you can understand, but each time before I see him, it is as if I flower. And each time I have seen him, I die.
Yes. My life has been a quest. First for a means of escape, and then for a belief in my identity. I see in him a fellow searcher.
He has reached beyond what might be too great for one human being. There is a wealth within him, you know. It is breaking the locks, overflowing.
Yesterday we took a walk in the grounds and fed the squirrels with the leftover toast.
Too full of bread, I expect.
I'm sorry?
Piece of nonsense. It made the children laugh. The trouble with geraniums is that they're much too red. The trouble with my toast is that it's far too full of bread.
The trouble with my looking glass is that it shows me. There's trouble in all sorts of things where it should never be.
You know it.
Yes.
It comes as a shock when the day arrives for him to leave.
He should never have been sent here in the first place. His illness... He does not belong here, do you, my darling?
No.
The ambulance will be here shortly.
Earlier, he tried to do some drawing.
Yes.
Oh.
You recognize what it is?
Yes. Yes, it is... Oh, it is meant to be. An island.
They're here. They're bringing a chair.
I'll walk with you to the ambulance.
May I take your arm? I am so grateful for all you have done for him. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Come along, my darling.
Yes.
Time to go.
Goodbye, sir. Perhaps, who knows, we will meet again one day. Somewhere where there is less pain and more hope.
Yes. Thank you, Titus.
I feel the void that opens when people part. This time I am not the one who has left, but I can feel a little of that sense of loss which I have inflicted on so many others. There is an ache. I have lost something irreplaceable. I cannot expect you to understand.
I'm beginning to.
I leave the hospital, walking down the long drive to the iron gates which shut in or shut out this world within a world. I let my legs lead me, for neither my head nor my heart can do so. But wherever I go, I remain an outsider. I have no label.
Your whole life has been an escape from being labeled.
But that is a label in itself. I only know that I cannot go back, and going forward is now little more than standing still.
So where do you go next?
I only know that I have to find my way to the sea.
So it's the sea you're wanting, is it?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Of course. The sea.
Well, the bus will be along any minute now.
Where do I ask for?
I just say, to the end. That's where it goes. I can't go no further.
Tickets. The end. There you are.
The end, I realize, is the beginning of a final journey.
Describe the landscape for me. I need to see it.
It becomes increasingly urban, disappears behind woods, and then emerges from a cathedral of trees onto an open road. That's when I see ahead of me
the pale line of blue separating the sky from the sea.
Excuse me, hey? Can you tell me the way to the boats?
You're lucky. One will be going in a quarter hour. Take the train to the harbor. Have you got your ticket?
No.
You can get it over there.
I know now that I am for once determining my own life. I am on my way. The train takes me.
Past the sidings and the cranes, and then onto the boats.
The night boat.
A jostling crowd.
A throbbing engine.
The roll of the ship.
Then, the morning mist.
A grey whiteness.
And emerging out of it, shapes like enormous sea animals.
The islands.
Each alone.
Each wrapped in its own silent, private world.
There is an aura of something that I know, something from the past, something which surrounds my whole being. Then the bustle of the harbour.
Are you staying or are you going on?
I'm not sure quite. Where else is there to go?
Well, there's a boat to the little island. They only go 3 times a week now. Have you any luggage?
No, I haven't. I came without any.
That's easy enough, then. You can get your ticket on the boat just over there. She's in already.
I go on board. I have a feeling of emptiness and a tight knot of apprehension. I have made a decision, and fate, somewhere, has helped me. The boat casts anchor, and I'm at sea once more. Eventually, the mist lifts and I see it. The small island.
In the shape of a dolphin.
With its inlets, caves, and rocks. I am already experiencing a sense of isolation from the world. At the same time, I am overwhelmed by a sense that my arrival is awaited, expected. That this is a place where things incomplete find completion.
A half-told story. the unfinished drawing.
The jetty is dotted with figures. Standing on the jetty, I scan the deck of the boat. Suddenly, my eyes focus on
you.
A realization. I am no longer alone.
And here we are, artist and subject.
I know now that I am at one with the man on the jetty.
And I with the man on the boat.
There is nowhere else. Those were my mother's parting words. You will tread a circle. There is not a road, not a track, but it will lead you home. And now, here, those words have come true. The road has led me home. The circle is complete.
Hold still, Titus. I must sketch you now, before the moment passes.
In Titus Alive, episode 6 of The History of Titus Groan by Mervyn Peake and Maeve Gilmore, Titus was played by Luke Treadaway and the artist by David Warner. Muzzlehatch was Gerard Murphy, Cheetah, Morvin Christie, and Juno, Maureen Beattie. Anchor was played by James Lely, The Scientist by Peter Polakapu, and Acreblade by Alan Raglan. Gertrude was played by Miranda Richardson, and Prune Squalor by James Fleet. Other parts were played by Elaine Claxton, Gerard McDermott, Carl Prekop, and Susie Riddell. The music was by Roger Goerler, and sound production was by Peter Ringrose. The History of Titus Groan was dramatised by Brian Sibley and directed and produced by Jeremy Mortimer.
What are the social and literary implications of setting a book in the grimy underbelly of the urban sprawl? Open Book follows the news, and a word from Peter Day.
Bad things have been happening to big companies quite a lot recently. Phone hacking scandal, oil rig disaster, huge government rescues for giant banks, big, big pay rises for the bosses. So who's in charge of the people who run these companies? It ought to be the directors, but are they powerful enough? And what about the owners, in other words, the shareholders? Do they really want to get involved? It's all part of something called corporate governance, as you can hear in In Business this evening at 9:30.